souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This vision, he saw those souls. Now let's talk about the altar. The altar, I have to speculate and think that this would be the altar of incense, because over in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." The same altar. This altar is mentioned 7 times in the book of the Revelation. Over in 5:8, "Now when he had taken the scroll, when the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayer of the saints." He sees this altar, the place where is pictured the prayer of the saints are arising. And under the altar were the souls of those who were martyred. I want you to think about this. We live in a time now that is unprecedented. We have had freedom in the United States of America for so many years that we can openly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We can openly declare the gospel. We can openly witness to people. We've had freedom to meet and assemble. Now, I do think that there is an evil effort to stop that. All of these college campuses, I don't know if you're watching this or not, but they're really calling for the extermination of Israel. This is dangerous. Not for us, but for unbelievers. We're taken care of. But they're blatantly calling for Jews to be killed. And they're protesting, and many of them are not even college students. And the people that are behind this are being emboldened. The Hamas and these others, they love this attention they're getting. They see the havoc they're wreaking, and they're continuing to do more and more and more. And behind all of this is a group of people who want one world religion, which is the Muslim faith. The Muslim faith is a faith of war. If you don't believe as they believe, they'll kill you. Now, they try to convince you that they're a peaceful religion, but if you don't believe as they do, they're going to kill you. Now, that's not very peaceful. And so we can see how this could escalate to where those who are here during the tribulation period will be martyred because of the Word of God and because of their testimony. Two reasons. Now, I think these people, these souls, are not people who have been martyred for their faith throughout all dispensations. Because remember, this vision happens after the rapture of the church. When the rapture happens, those who have been martyred for the faith, their bodies are resurrected. We will not prevent those who are asleep. They will come up first before we're raptured out. Those bodies will be resurrected and then we're raptured out. So it's not them. It's not those who have been in the church who have been martyred in the 1800s, 1900s, etc. Not them he's talking about. He's talking about a specific group of people, and it's those people who are martyred in the first half of the tribulation period that come to faith in Jesus Christ. It will be difficult to be saved in the tribulation period, but there will be many people saved in the tribulation period. You'll find that out here before long. You'll read that. A whole group, an innumerable group from every tribe, tongue, kindred, nation, there, because they were saved out of the tribulation period. So God's not completely finished with His work. He's doing a wonderful work. And these souls that John sees They are martyrs. They died because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is amazing to me because somehow it has become pervasive in current Christendom, the prosperity gospel, where everyone kind of believes that if you believe in the Lord and you just you do whatever that you're supposed to do in the Bible, that God's going to bless you and give you everything you ever wanted, if you can name it and claim it. And I would like for those who espouse that view to sit down with one of these martyrs in the future and have a discussion about that. No one has ever come to you and told you, you cannot pray, and if you pray, you will be killed immediately on the spot. No one has burst through your door and taken your Bibles away from your home with threat of violence for you possessing them. If you have them, you will be killed. These martyrs experienced that in the first half of the tribulation period. Matthew chapter 24, if you would care to go there just for a moment. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9. Notice what the scripture says. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, this is going to happen right at about the midway point, right before the midway point. When he says they will deliver you up to tribulation, they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Lawlessness. I'm amazed that in the United States of America, they call this peaceful protesting and they're burning and tearing up buildings and keeping people from going to class. What they need to do is they need to wear them out real good. But you can't do that because we live in such a wimpy society. But they need to be worn out good. Let me just say that again. They need to be worn out good. They need to be taken to jail. One fellow said, all these protesters are not college students. They've come out of their parents' basements. They come off their video games for a while just to create havoc. Lawlessness. The law is ineffective. You know, at Columbia University, they could not do it. The New York City police could not do anything until they were invited by Columbia University. Lawlessness is going there. We're moving towards this right now. I don't even have to come up with illustrations. Just watch the news and you can see it illustrated for you. This is nothing new. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. John says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos. Why? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John, because of his stand for the word of God, his belief in Jesus Christ and his testimony, he was banished, boiled and then banished to the Isle of Patmos. And this will only intensify in the beginning. Another reason why I believe these martyred saints are those who are martyred at the beginning of the tribulation period is if you notice what the scripture says in verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? In this vision, at the time of the vision, the souls under the altar are crying out to God for vengeance upon the people who dwell on the earth. Avenge their blood on the people who dwell on the earth. It's the people of the tribulation period. Those people who were persecuted in the beginning of the tribulation period before their word of God and for their testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seeing in our land a beginning of this. If you stand on the word of God and you say, thus says the word of God, people will call you a bigot. They will look at you and say, that's insensitive. You shouldn't say something like that. And it's only going to intensify more and more and more. There's a mainline denomination that has gone completely off the rails, and they're ordaining same-sex couples and et cetera. And one of the guys in their hierarchy said this. He said, talking to other Bible-believing people, don't you tell us we don't revere and love the Scripture. How can you revere and love the Scripture if you disobey it? See, the whole point of this is, and this is the thing, do you understand that from the teaching of evolution all the way through LBQTG, whatever, I don't even know how to say all that stuff. I'm not being rude. I don't know how it all goes, but you know what I'm talking about. That whole, all of that, do you understand that all of that is attack on the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? And it starts with evolution. Remember when Eve in the garden said, hath God not said? It was an attack on the Word of God and Adam's testimony. And all throughout the Scripture, and what you deal with is an attack on the Word of God and your testimony. The Word of God and your testimony. So he sees these souls who have been martyred for the Word of God and for their testimony. And he sees them under the altar. They're crying out to God for vengeance. What else? Well, they're in heaven. What all are they doing? Well, first of all, they're crying out for vengeance. They're crying out for God to come and exact just vengeance on the people who martyred them. How long, O Lord? How long will you permit this? Boy, sometimes we wonder that today ourselves, don't we? How long are you going to permit the world to go this way before you just get us out of this mess and just you can unleash your terror on it? How long are you going to allow this to come? They're crying out for vengeance or judgment. So you know what that tells me? These people are aware. Not some kind of weird soul sleep where they're just there. And no, they're able to think. They're able to remember. They're able to recall. They're able to cry out to God because God is almighty. They're fully aware of what's going on. Notice what else he says. Then, verse 11, a white robe was given to each of them. Now, they're not just souls floating around, uninhabited by any kind of body, because how do you put a white robe on a soul? You got to have a body. Will this be their glorified, everlasting body? I don't think so. I think it's a temporary body. I the best I can do, I'm sorry. I can't but speculate because the Scripture doesn't fully say. But they are rewarded with white robes, and white robes are significant in the Scripture. If I may quote from John MacArthur's study Bible, he says this, and I quote John MacArthur, "The white garments of all redeemed speak of holiness and purity. Such white robes are reserved for Christ, holy angels, and the glorified church. End quote. And then I would add to him the martyrs, saints of the tribulation period here in chapter 6, verse 11. As a matter of fact, would you allow me to take you on just a quick journey real quick? Matthew chapter 17, if you don't want to turn there, you can look on the screen. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Speaking of Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, white robe. What does it stand for? Holiness and purity. Well, what about the angels? What about Matthew chapter 28 and verse 3? Matthew 28, 3. The scriptures tell us, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. This is the angel to whom appears Mary Magdalene. Holiness, purity. Over in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 in verses 8. Verse 8, I should say. And to her it was granted, her, the church, was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Look down at verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Holiness and purity. By the way, you have a white robe reserved for you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and it won't have to be hemmed. Amen. Some of you, that's not a big deal, but I have to have my shorts hemmed. I'll leave it there. In Revelation, back in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 11, these tribulation saints are given white robes. Why? Because holiness and purity. How do they have holiness and purity? They had holiness and purity because of their faith in Jesus Christ, his righteousness. How was that proven? It was proven in they died for the Word of God, their commitment to the Word of God, and their testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is substantial. That is perhaps the greatest proof that they are believers. If you're willing to die for the Word of God and for your belief in Jesus Christ, that's pretty good evidence you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you agree? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Bill. And then notice what else he says. They should rest a little while longer. They should rest a little while longer. Blessed are they who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labor, and their works do follow them, the Bible says. Even though they were martyred here upon the earth during the tribulation period, they will have rest in the eternal abode with God while they wait. What are they waiting for? Notice what he says. That they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who will be killed as they were was completed. Wow. God has a number, an amount of people who will be martyred in the tribulation period. Up until this point, these people who have been martyred are there under the altar. They are waiting for the final number of those who will be killed in the last 3.5 years. When I was a kid at our church, Estes Perkle, has anyone ever heard of Estes Perkle? Estes Perkle was an evangelist, and he brought to our church a movie called The Burning Hell. I remember seeing it. It scared me to death as a kid, and I had this wild idea when I worked with the teenagers at church camp that I would show this movie, The Burning Hell, and literally scare everyone into salvation. I lost 3 counselors that week, went home, and about 7 kids. They went home because they were scared to death. In that, he also wrote another movie called If the Horseman Would Tire, What Would the Footman Do? And in that movie, it was a very graphic movie of how Christians would be killed because of their faith during the tribulation period. Those who come to faith in the tribulation period, because those who were already saved were raptured out, those who came to faith in the tribulation period. And it was very graphic, and it scared me. to death. Now, some of you are going to go home and Google this. You want to watch it? Go ahead. Watch it. It's just a movie now. But if the horseman tire, what would the footman do? And The Burning Hell by Estes Perkel. If you would watch those, you're on your own. But I'm just telling you. There will be many martyred for the faith. And guys, here's the thing that bothers me today. The thing that bothers me today is all throughout the history of the church, when the church was most effective, when they were persecuted the most. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, listen, I want you all to be my witnesses. And you'll go to Judea, you'll go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, guess what happens? They stay in Jerusalem. So what does God do? God allows persecution to come upon the church, and they were scattered abroad. They're still coming home from their dispersion. Literally, Jews are returning to Israel as we speak because of that. And then the church got on fire. It wasn't until the persecution came the church got on fire. It's a warning in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God says this, be careful when you have eaten and you have plenty that you forget the Lord your God and what He has done. It's in the times when there's no persecution, when everything is going great, that we neglect and we forget God. Persecution is coming. And there will be many more killed in the last half, which is called the Great Tribulation, which the Bible says will be a time like there's never been, nor ever will be, ever again. That is grim. But here's the thing. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be. What do you mean? Well, it'll be that way, but it doesn't have to be that way with individuals because individuals can repent and believe the gospel. People can repent and believe the gospel and become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. So what does this have to do with us? We're going to be raptured out of here. So what? Well, first of all, I want you to know the certainty and the severity of coming martyrdom. You and I might see the beginnings of this in our day. There was a young man in a middle school in North Carolina who referred to, he said the word illegal alien. This is a true story. He was suspended from school for racial language because he said illegal alien. Guess what his name was? Christian. Guess what his family are? Guess what he and his family are? Christians. They've got an attorney, and the attorney just laid out wonderfully. He said, this is what the definition of an alien is. Someone who is a foreigner in another land. He said, it is not racial language, and they're suing the school system. It's coming. They suspended him from school for 3 days for racial language. It's coming. It is coming. Martyrdom is coming, and Christians are going to be persecuted for being a Christian. Some of you, if you live long enough and Christ doesn't come back, you may be threatened. Your job may be threatened because you're a born-again Christian. It's coming. And the Bible tells us it's coming. Jesus said, yea, and all who shall live godly shall suffer persecution. He's not just talking about someone posting something negatively about you on Facebook. He's talking about coming after you. I had an acquaintance who was a pastor who was invited to speak at the state capitol of his state. And he went to the state capitol and he was going to open in prayer in front of the Senate and Congress there. And when people found out that he was a Baptist preacher and he was coming to pray, a lot of people protested. And I quote you, he told me, he said, it was the most demonic thing I've ever felt in my life. He said, I went in and I walked through those chambers and I got up and they called on me to come and open in prayer. And there were people who were opposed to me literally hissing at me. And he said, they had asked me not to pray divisively. And he said, I remember the words of Jesus. He didn't come to unite, he came to divide. And he said, I prayed in Jesus' name, the only name, the name above all names, the only name whereby we can be saved. He said, I prayed as hard as I could in Jesus' name. He said, but they literally hissed at me. You and I will, our children that's coming up will face persecution. It's coming. Secondly, I would say this. This whole text to me refutes the prosperity gospel. This just drops a atom bomb on prosperity gospel. There are many people right now today who are born again believers in other countries who are being persecuted for their faith, and they pray hard, and they pray hard. There was a missionary back years ago. He was imprisoned, and he just knew the next morning he was going to be killed. They had let it out. They were going to kill him. He was in a dungeon type prison. And there was another individual there who was watching him. And he did whatever, and he laid down, and he started to go to sleep. And that guy says, the other prisoner said, how in the world could you lay here and sleep knowing that tomorrow you're going to die? And he sat up, and he looked at the guy, and he said, well, listen, I look at it this way. I've prayed, and I've talked to the Lord about it, and the Lord's got it now. There's no reason for both of us to be awake. The Lord will be up. He never sleeps. He never slumbers, the Bible says. There's no reason for both of us to stay up and worry. So he went to sleep. And the next morning, ironically, for no reason that anyone can explain, he was released from prison. This prosperity gospel that's going through the United States of America is not of God. It's not of God. You question people and they come back at you, these prosperity faith guys, they come back at you, well, none of your business and blah, 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 and 2 and 3 airplanes and $45 million parsonages and et cetera. Not of God. I remember one time there was an elderly lady at Abundant Life. She lived on a meager income, a fixed income. I don't know how she made it. I think the only way she made it was God's provision for her because she had been faithful through the years. And she supported a television ministry. And I remember them telling us, the family member telling us, that she was deathly sick, had to buy medicines and so on and so forth, and they stopped sending money to the television ministry, and the television ministry called and wanted to know why they stopped sending money. And rather than saying, what can we do to help this woman? Well, if she would, the reason she's in that condition is because she stopped. If she wouldn't have stopped, she wouldn't be in that condition. My mother had a stroke, and I was in a Camp Ashland, Nebraska, away at in the Army National Guard training. They called me in the middle of the night and said that she'd had a stroke. And it was bad. So I got plane arrangements, and I got out of there next morning when I got there. She was, from what we could tell, unresponsive. She had a friend who went to a church who had the prosperity gospel and all the stuff that goes with it. And apparently their pastor came in and was going to pray with her. She's on a ventilator, and she got restless and was shaking her head no when this faith healer guy came. And I'm being told about this, you know, and I'm like, yay, Mom. She was trusting in the Lord, but she knew enough not to fool with that stuff. As far as I know, we never had any other communication. And she passed away. But guys, I will tell you this. I've never run into faith healers at the children's hospital. Jason, you've been up children's. Have you ever seen any up there? Joey, when you were taking Gavin, did you see any up there? None of us have ever seen. Matter of fact, as far as I know, I haven't seen any faith healers at SOMC. There's a whole oncology cancer center here in Portsmouth. Never see them. See, the prosperity gospel teaches you a false gospel. And Jesus and his gospel is pure. It's pure. And this refutes that theology. Number three, this should center our ministry on Christ. We need to be preparing the future generation, not parades and pageants and programs and games, but we need to prepare them for a faith in which we'll be persecuted. We need to be building strong Christians who are not easily offended. Great peace have they that love my law and are not easily offended. The Bible says. We need to be developing disciples of Christ. As far as we know, John is the only one of the disciples that was not martyred. He was banished. Peter was crucified upside down on the cross. Paul was beheaded. Many other, James, I think he was boiled, if I'm not sure. I forget. But these men died for the gospel. I watched a show. I found a guy on YouTube who goes around. He's a staunch believer in Jesus Christ, and he helps people who've leaved different religions and so on and so forth. And he had an interview of a guy that was shunned from the Amish because he came. And not Amish, not every Amish community has the same beliefs. You think all Amish are the same. They're not. They're not. But anyways, this one was banished and he became a believer in Jesus Christ. He lost his family, his business, and everything for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? What have you lost for the Word of God and for your testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know anything of sacrifice? We don't. Lastly, I would say this should encourage us to focus on the true gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel. The pure gospel. The gospel. In our churches, there's so much garbage going on. Star Wars. Shrek. Trolls. All this stuff. We need the gospel. We need the gospel. Could you imagine a bunch of people coming in and persecuting people and they stand up dressed like trolls? Now, we've seen some people who look like trolls, but that's another story. But this should encourage us to focus on the gospel. What matters is the gospel, church. That's what matters. The gospel is what matters. And the church is trying to do all these things, all these different programs that are good things, but it's not the main thing. I mean, if your house is on fire and you call the fire department and they can't respond because they're having a bake sale, there's nothing wrong with the bake sale, but what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to put out fires. That's the main thing. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be sharing the gospel with everyone we can. Because, church, this is a reality. It's a reality. I'm reminded of a man. I can't remember exactly. I think it was in England. A man was imprisoned for his faith, and he was talking to someone else, trying to convince this atheist that of the gospel. And the atheist said this. He said, "If I believed what you say you believe about the gospel," he said, "I would crawl all over England on my hands and knees on broken glass to tell one person about Jesus Christ." How many of us know somebody that's not saved that will, if the rapture were to happen right now, they'd be thrust into the tribulation period? Many of us do. Have we ever prayed for their salvation? Sure, maybe. Have we prayed seriously for their salvation? Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you do. Have we even witnessed them to them? When I think about this fifth seal, and I see all those souls there under the altar, and I read this last phrase of this verse, and it says this, "Until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was," notice that next word, "completed." It's going to happen. You say, "Well, it's going to happen, then why should we do anything? Why should we just not?" That's a cop-out. That's a bad answer. We do it because of the Word of God and our testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. How is your stand on the Word of God, and how is your testimony regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask you to help us.